All right, guys. Back to Two Thirds Radio. We're going to launch now into a discussion of why air flight is mentioned in so many ancient documents as something that was to be suppressed, kept secret. There's so many instances where people who constructed such flying craft were told to destroy all of the blueprints after constructing the craft. It was not to be made known to anyone. And why is that? Because of their destructive power. As we're going to see now, these flying craft were used in ancient warfare, just as they're used today in warfare, and they were incredibly destructive. This is going to blow your mind. For those that haven't heard this before, this is absolutely mind-boggling stuff. And again, why isn't this discussed in the history classes? Even if it's just mentioned as a footnote or as a matter-of-fact thing or, you know, a point of curiosity, even if they don't want to teach that the ancients had advanced technology, why not at least mention it and let the students decide for themselves? Can it be that they don't want you to know the ancients had advanced technology? Certainly appears that way, because the popular dogma today in academia is that the ancients were ignoramuses. The further back in time we go, the dumber they were. Well, that's not what ancient documents tell us. Ancient documents talk about the wisdom of the ancients, that their distant ancestors were much wiser. Solomon actually said there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing of today that has not been from old. In other words, the ancients knew a lot of the discoveries, you know, they were known in Solomon's day long before, and even greater things than that. But interesting that we look back at our distant ancestors today, you know, pridefully, like we're the smartest and they were dumb. We look back at them as, you know, dumb brutes. Especially as you go further back to prehistoric times, they were just basically apes with clubs, bopping each other over the head. Oh, give me a break. But it's funny that, you know, people that are ancient to us now, 3,000-4,000 years ago, recognized their early ancestors as being much more developed, much more intelligent than they were. Anyway, let's go on here. Let's look at some examples of how these aircraft were used for warfare. The Paiute or Paiute Indians tell of the Havmasuvs, who traveled from the Gulf of California to Death Valley, where it was still green and fertile at the time. They flew in large, silent craft which had weapons. The Hopi Indians of the southwest United States have a tradition of a people who made a patwavota, which soared through the sky. On this, many of them flew to attack a great city. Soon others from many nations were making patwavotas and flew to attack one another. G.R. Joyzer, director of the International Academy of Sanskrit Research in Mysore, has translated into English the 3,000-year-old Vimanika Shastra, meaning the science of aeronautics. And this work has 8 chapters, 6,000 lines, on the construction of 3 types of aircraft. The information covered in the document includes the design of a helicopter-type cargo plane and passenger planes for as much as 500 people, plans for a craft that flew in the air, traveled underwater, or floated platoon-like on the water's surface. The qualifications and training of pilots is also mentioned, as is the inclusion on the aircraft of what can only be described as cameras, radios, and a type of radar. Instructions on how to make the aircraft invisible were also given, so that they couldn't be detected by enemies. And lots of other interesting things that we'll discuss when we get back from the break, guys. Stick with us.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up at 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
Back to Two Thirds Radio. There's just a few more points here mentioned in this ancient Indian document that I was citing before the break. It also describes how to paralyze other aircraft, how to zigzag in the sky like a snake, how to see inside an enemy's aircraft. Isn't that interesting? Remote viewing. And how to spy on all activities going on down below on the ground. Kind of like what they're doing today. You know, aerial surveillance. This is incredible stuff. Also given was the correct proportions of certain chemicals, which, when discharged outside the aircraft, would give the appearance of a cloud. Was this some kind of camouflage cloaking device? Unbelievable. Sounds pretty high tech to me. Now let's get into some really bizarre stuff. The Mahabharata. This is an ancient Indian document. It's a long, long poem. And in one episode of this poem, we have the Vrishnis, a tribe whose warriors included a hero named Krishna, were beset, we're told, by the forces of a leader named Salva. From there, the cruel Salva had arrived on the scene riding on a sabha, or chariot, a flying chariot, and from it he killed many Vishni youths and devastated all the parks in the city, we're told. The story goes on to tell of how the Vrishni heroes were well equipped to launch a counterattack against Salva. At one point, a Vrishni warrior was about to finish Salva off with a special weapon, but then decided against it because, quote, not a man in battle is safe from this arrow. Soon Krishna took to the skies in pursuit of Salva, but Salva's Saba clung to the sky at a league's length. He threw at him, and this is a direct quote from the document, he threw at him, Krishna, rockets, missiles, spears, spikes, battle axes, three-bladed javelins, flamethrowers, without pausing. The sky seemed to hold 100 suns, 100 moons, and 100 myriad stars. Neither day nor night could be made out, or the points of compass. Krishna then warded off Salva's attack with the equivalent of an anti-ballistic missile, destroying Salva's rockets, missiles, and spears in mid-flight before they impacted. Krishna warded them off as they loomed toward him with his swift striking shafts as they flashed through the sky. Krishna cut them into pieces. There was a great din in the sky above. Nonetheless, Krishna was still in distress, for Salva's Saba somehow became invisible. Krishna then loaded a special weapon. It appears to have been an ancient version of a smart bomb. It says, Krishna quickly laid on an arrow, which killed by seeking out sound. All of Salva's army lay dead, killed by the blazing sun-like arrows that were triggered by sound. Now, what do you make of that? Seriously, folks, this is, this is just a little too high tech, too detailed, too descriptive, too modern sounding to write off as ancient fantasy, fairy tale. Other advanced weapons mentioned in ancient texts from India, which weren't necessarily employed from the air, include chemical and biological agents. One text talks of how when one weapon was engaged, quote, poison was produced, covering the earth with deadly fumes, which stupefied. It was the poison that would have destroyed the world. Another text describes Sumara, which was a missile that caused crippling, and Mohamastra, a weapon that caused complete paralysis. An Avidyastra was a weapon that supposedly attacked the nervous system of its victims. Oh, man. Sounds like stuff the CIA was working on a few decades ago. A Pravaspana was said to induce sleep. And then finally, we have the Sikarastra, which seems to have produced napalm-like effects. We also have what appears to be beam weapons. A weapon called Kapila's Lance is described as having been capable of turning 50,000 men to ashes in just a few moments of time. Was this some type of laser cannon? It's incredible stuff. The Mahabharata also describes an 18-day war between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, who inhabited the upper regions of the Ganges. Not long after this war, a second war was waged against the Vrishnis and the Andakas in the same region. In both conflicts, Vrahmanas, described in this particular text as celestial cars and aerial chariots with sides of iron clad with wings, were used to launch a weapon of terrible destructive power. The first of these two wars fought in these aircraft is described as follows, quote, the valiant Adwatan, remaining steadfast in his Vamana, landed upon the water, and from there unleashed the Ignia weapon. Now, I have to pause there for a moment, because this is very interesting. Did you know that India, with its modern nuclear weapons development program, actually called it the Ignia Project? I kid you not. They named their modern nuclear weapons research program after this ancient Ignia weapon, recognizing it as as having been nuclear in nature. And after I read these battles, you tell me if you don't think this is a nuclear weapon that was unleashed in ancient times. In any case, let me continue. This weapon is said to have been incapable of being resisted by the very gods. excuse me. Taking careful aim against his foes, he let loose the blazing missile of smokeless fire with tremendous force. Dense arrows of flame, like a great shower, issued forth upon creation, encompassing the enemy. Meteors flashed down from the sky. A thick gloom quickly settled upon the Pandava hosts. All points of the compass were lost in darkness. Fierce winds began to blow. Exactly what you would get with nuclear fallout, folks. Clouds roared upward. Mushroom clouds? Showering dust and gravel. Birds quaked madly, and beasts shuddered from the destruction. The very elements seemed distorted and disturbed. The sun seemed to waver in the heavens. The earth shook, scorched by the terrible, violent heat of this weapon. Terrible, violent heat? Elephants burst into flame and ran to and fro in a frenzy, seeking protection from the terror. Over a vast area, other animals crumpled to the ground and died. The waters boiled, and the creatures residing therein also died. From all points of the compass, the arrows of flame rained continuously and fiercely. The missile of Adwatan burst with the power of thunder, and the hostile warriors collapsed like trees burnt in a raging fire. Thousands of war vehicles fell down on all sides. Now, doesn't this sound like a nuclear exchange? Think about it, guys. Well, you know, how else could you describe this? What else could it possibly be? This is not the result of some ripe imagination. There's far too many details here that precisely describe a nuclear exchange to write off as mere fantasy. But there's other, even more compelling evidence of such a battle in the distant past. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let's go back to the Mahabharata first. It goes on to describe a second battle of this nature. And here's what it says. Gurkha, flying in his swift and powerful Vimana, hurled against the three cities of the Vrishnis and the Andakas a single projectile charged with all the power of the universe. An incandescent column of smoke and fire, as brilliant as 10,000 suns, rose in all its splendor. It was the unknown weapon, the iron thunderbolt, a gigantic messenger of death, which reduced to ashes the entire race of the Vrishnis, or Vrishnus, and the Andakas. The corpses were so burnt that they were no longer recognizable. Hair and nails fell out. Pottery broke without cause. Birds disturbed, circled in the air, and were turned white. Foodstuffs were poisoned. To escape, the warriors threw themselves into streams to wash themselves and their equipment. Notice, poisoned ray. Now, what do you think that is? Very interesting. All right, guys, short break. We'll be right back. Thank you.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Okay, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. This is interesting. If anybody has any further news on this, call in. I guess during the commercial break, Don Nikoloff called in from Ohio. And he said that there was a shooting at the White House. Henry Paulson was shot. Whoa. Yeah, if anybody has any info on that. Obviously, I'm not watching the TV right now. That's pretty interesting. Anybody can update us on that. Wow. Anyway, let me continue on here. I was just citing from the Mahabharata, fascinating stuff, describing, again, what could only be interpreted as a nuclear exchange in the distant past. Very descriptive, talking about clouds raising to the heavens, a brightness of 10,000 suns, foodstuffs being poisoned, people running to the rivers to wash themselves from the poison ray, birds turning white and falling to the ground, people burning up to ashes, on and on and on and on. Well, here's another similar statement from the Ramayana. It says that when the god Rama was threatened by an army of monkeys, he put a magic arrow into action. This produced a flash of lightning stronger than the heat from 100,000 suns, turning everything to dust. The document then went on to state that the hair of survivors fell out and that their nails had disintegrated. Again, this is another sign of nuclear fallout. This is what it does, folks. Robert Oppenheimer, this is real interesting, the father of the atomic bomb, turns out was a Sanskrit scholar. Once, when speaking of the first atomic test conducted near Alamogordo, New Mexico, on July 16, 1945, he quoted from the Mahabharata saying, quote, "I have unleashed the power of the universe. Now I have become the destroyer of worlds," quoting from the Mahabharata. When asked during an interview at Rochester University 7 years after this first atomic test, whether it was the first such bomb ever to be detonated, he replied by saying, quote, "Well, yes, in modern history." So here, Oppenheimer was clearly indicating, remember, he was a Sanskrit scholar, he studied these ancient Indian texts, he was clearly indicating here that he didn't believe that this was the first atomic bomb ever developed, that there were, in fact, atomic bombs developed in ancient times. So he understood these ancient documents to be referring to nuclear exchange in the distant past. Very interesting. Anyway, it doesn't stop there. There's statements like this all over the place, not only in other ancient Indian documents, but in documents from around the world. Anyway, it looks like this story is true, guys. Henry Paulson critical after being shot in the chest. Wow. So if you Google that, or maybe just turn your TV set on, I'm sure it's probably all over the news right now. This is, oh boy. Yeah, it is official. It's not, wow, this is bizarre. Anyway, nothing surprises me anymore in this crazy George Orwellian world of ours. Let me continue on here. In the Tibetan stanzas of Daizan, translated in the 19th century, but the original, of course, dating back to several millennia B.C., a description is given of a warfaring holocaust between two nations in the region. And here's what this document states. "The great king of the dazzling face, the chief of all the yellow-faced, was sad, seeing the evil intentions of the evil dark-faced. He sent his air vehicles to all his brother chiefs with pious men within, saying, 'Prepare, arise, men of the good law, and escape while the land has not yet been overwhelmed by the waters. The lords of the storm are also approaching. Their war vehicles are nearing the land. One night and 2 days only shall the lords of the dark-faced arrive on this patient land. She is doomed when the waters descend on her. The lords of the dark eye have prepared their magic, Agnyastra," relating to the, again, the Ignia weapon, this nuclear warhead, if you will. "They are also versed in Ashtar," the highest magical knowledge, that is, perhaps referring to technology. Then the document goes on. It says, "Come and use yours. Use your Agnyastra," apparently. "Let every lord of the dazzling face ensnare the air vehicle of every lord of the dark face, lest any of them escape." And there's more to that. I'll pick it up when we get back, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
This is an urgent RBN financial bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. I was just Googling during the break here, and I'm getting word that he is dead. Henry Paulson suffered a fatal chest wound and is now reported dead. This is, of course, Bush's appointed Treasury Secretary. Died today from gunshot wounds suffered as described. State Department have confirmed this to the sources in touch. Wow. So it's official. He's dead. I haven't had time to go through yet and see who the alleged murderer is or what motive there was, but crazy stuff. Well, regardless who did it and why, I can pretty much guess probably what's going to happen. Some more Gestapo laws, yeah? Probably Bush's boys who did it, and now they're going to use it as an excuse to crack down. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, continuing on. Reading from this document here, this Tibetan Stanzas of Dzogchen, it goes on to say, "The great king fell upon his dazzling face and wept. When the kings were assembled, the waters of the earth had already been disturbed. The nations crossed by dry lands. They went beyond the watermark." Let's see here. The kings reached then the safe lands in their air vehicles and arrived in the lands of fire and metal. Stars, or atomic bombs apparently, showered on the lands of the dark-faced while they slept. The speaking beasts, what is that, a reference to radios perhaps, remained quiet. The lords waited for others, but they came not, for their masters slept. The waters rose and covered the valleys, apparently some kind of tsunami, because of the setting off of these powerful explosives, who knows. In the high lands, there dwelt those who escaped the men of the yellow faces and of the straight eye, obviously referring to the Chinese. Everywhere in this same document, you know, we see all throughout this document, you know, references to similar battles like this. In fact, another place, here's what we read. Separation did not bring peace to these people, apparently of Harappa and Mohenjo-Daro. And I should mention at this point that those are two ancient cities that were found in the region where these battles are said to have taken place, right near the Ganges. When they were first excavated, guys, they actually found human remains haphazardly in the streets. They were laying as though they had died in some terrible calamity. Their bones were in a charred state, and they actually registered relatively high in radioactivity with a Geiger counter. And some of the stones in the ruins of these cities were vitrified, i.e. melted. Just the outer millimeter or so layer of stone was melted. No volcanoes in the area, and even if there were, volcanoes wouldn't melt stone like that. Stone would melt through and through from a volcanic eruption, not just on the outer surface. This is what you would expect from a nuclear exchange. Unbelievable. And anyways, continuing with this quote here, finally, their anger reached a point where the ruler of the original city took with him a small number of his warriors, and they rose into the air in a large shining metal vessel. While they were many in league from the city of their enemies, they launched a great shining lance that rode on a beam of light. It burst apart in the city of their enemies with a great ball of flame that shot up to the heavens, almost to the stars. All those who were in the city were horribly burned, and even those who were not in the city but nearby were burned also. Those who looked upon the lance and the ball of fire were blinded forever afterward. Isn't that interesting? Those who looked at it were blinded. Those who entered the city on foot became ill and died from nuclear fallout, guys. Even the dust of the city was poisoned, as were the rivers that flowed through it. Men dared not go near it, and it gradually crumbled into the dust and was forgotten by men. When the leader saw what he had done to his own people, he returned to his palace and refused to see anyone. Then he gathered about him those warriors who remained, and their wives and children, and they entered their vessels and rose one by one into the sky and sailed away, nor did they ever return again. This is pretty amazing. Once again, it'd be pretty difficult to try to write this off as a ripe ancient imagination when it goes into so much very profound and specific detail that describes exactly what we would expect from a nuclear exchange today. What we did see, in fact, in Hiroshima or Nagasaki. How can this be written off when so many precise details are being relayed here? We actually have archaeological evidence to back this particular series of battles up. I mean, come on, folks. Anybody want to contest this? You want to call me and tell me that this is crazy, this can't be, the ancients weren't this smart? Why not? Why not? Because Professor Dingwit tells you that it couldn't have happened? Forget Professor Dingwit, guys. This document, by the way, and most of these documents I'm reading from, were translated in the 19th century, before our modern nuclear era. So it's not like they were flavoring their translation with a modern understanding of nuclear physics. You know, this was translated, these documents were translated here long before our modern nuclear age. Sumerian texts also describe a battle of this nature between two opponents, Ninurta and Zu. Ninurta, we are told, shot, quote, arrows at Zu, but they were stopped in the midst of their flight. Again, was this some kind of interceptor missile? As the battle continued, E instructed Ninurta to add a till ton to his arsenal and shoot it into the pinions or small cogwheels of Zu's wings. Following this advice, Zu's wings were struck and he came spiraling downward in defeat. Interestingly enough, the tin lun that Ninurta was instructed to use against Zu actually translates in the modern Hebrew as missile, literally. And when written, its ancient pictorial symbol actually looks like a modern-day missile. It's got a pointed tip. It's got a triangular base to it. It even has some little fins on the side, looking like a modern missile. Anyway, the Babylonian Epic of Gilgamesh, many of you might have heard of that before in regards to its relating of the flood, very similar account given therein to the biblical flood, but there's a lot of other interesting accounts in there. This document dates to about 2000 BC, and it recalls, amongst other things, a day when, quote, the heavens cried out, the earth bellowed an answer, lightning flashed forth, fire flamed upwards, it rained down earth. The brightness vanished, the fire was extinguished, everyone who was struck by the lightning was turned to ashes. Another account that dates to the same time and from the same area, the Lamentation Tablets, as they're called, describe a terrible devastation inflicted upon Sumer during a battle involving high-tech weaponry. Here's what it says. On the land fell a calamity, one unknown to man, one that had never been seen before, one which could not be withstood. It brought death to all who were in the vicinity. A death, quote, which roamed the street, was let loose in the road. It stood beside a man, yet none could see it. When it entered a house, its appearance was unknown. In other words, radiation. There was simply no way of protecting oneself from this evil which assaulted the land like a ghost. The highest wall, the thickest walls, it passed as a flood. No door could shut it out. No bolt could turn it back. Through the door like a snake, it glided its way. Through the hinge like a wind, it blew in. Cough and phlegm weakened the chest. The mouth was filled with spittle and foam. Again, guys, isn't this what you would expect from a nuclear exchange, nuclear fallout? Dumbness and daze came upon them. An unwholesome numbness, an evil curse, a headache. The people, terrified, could hardly breathe. The evil wind clutched them. It did not grant them another day. The face was made pale by the evil wind. This evil wind came as a cloud over Sumer and covered the land as a cloak and spread over it like a sheet. Wow. Once again, is this a ripe imagination run wild? Just like the Mahabharata and the other Indian text we cited? Can it be that they could, all of these people representing different areas of the ancient world and different time periods, could it be that they all got lucky and named all of these different multiple aspects of a nuclear exchange, that they got lucky and got them all right? Think about it, guys. Are we going to keep clinging to modern academia's fairy tales that the ancients were ignoramuses and incapable of producing the type of warfare we have today? Or are we going to admit that, yeah, they were as smart as we were, and in some cases as dumb, too? But, you know, are we going to admit that not only the possibility existed that they could have developed these weapons, but the probability? Look at these documents. Again, you know, anybody wants the transcripts, truthhurtsradio@AOL.com. Hertz is spelled H-E-R-T-Z. I'll be happy to send them to you. Take a look at them and then come back and tell me you think these, you know, that I'm making wrong assumptions here. No, the ancients couldn't have had this technology. Come on, please. Another lamentation tablet from the same era talks about, quote, awesome weapons that were launched from the skies, which spread awesome rays toward the four points of the earth, scorching everything like fire. Once again, there's your nuclear fallout for you. There's your deadly radiation for you right there, guys. No wonder air flight technology was so suppressed in ancient times. No wonder they didn't want it disseminated. Around 200 years later, during the reign of King Hammurabi of Babylon, ancient texts tell of a powerful weapon that this king had used in battle. Here's what the text states. With the powerful weapon with which Marduk proclaimed his triumphs, the hero, Hammurabi, overthrew in battle the armies of Eshnunna. With the great power of Marduk, he overthrew the armies. With the mighty power which Anu and Enlil had given him, he defeated all his enemies as far as the country of Sabartu. Then, in the 9th century BC, during the reign of Shalmaneser III, the Babylonians appear to have employed similar weaponry in another battle. Texts from this period record King Shalmaneser as saying, quote, I fought with the mighty force which Asher, my lord, had given me, and with the strong weapons which Nergal, my leader, had presented to me. The weapon of Asher was said to have a terrifying brilliance. During one particular war, the enemy, Adini, along with his host of warriors, fled upon seeing, quote, the terrifying brilliance of Asher. It overwhelmed them. The Mayan Popol Vuh also described the destructive effects of a fire from the sky that put out eyes and decomposed flesh and entrails, which was apparently of human origin. From where else could it have come? The Popol Vuh also describes how great cities to the north, apparently in what is today the United States, were destroyed at this same time. An ancient legend from a dying totemic cult in northern Canada near the tundra tells of a time, quote, before the cold descended from the north, before the Ice Age, perhaps. It states further that, quote, in the days when great forests and flowering meadows were here, demons came and made slaves of our people and sent the young to die among the rocks and below the ground. But then arrived the Thunderbird, and our people were freed. We learned about the marvelous cities of the Thunderbird, which were beyond the big lakes, the Great Lakes, and shining cities to the south. Many of our people left us and saw these shining cities and witnessed the grand homes and the mystery of men who flew from the skies. But then the demons returned, and there was terrible destruction. Those of our people who had gone southward returned to declare that all life in the cities was gone. Nothing but silence remained. Apparently describing some kind of a nuclear battle again. Interesting stuff, guys. All right, short break. We'll be right back.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Hey guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. Just got a few more minutes left here. Wish I had more time. There's a lot more to this, believe it or not. But I think hopefully I've said enough to convince you that this is worth looking into more. And again, just request the transcripts, truthhurtsradio@AOL.com, and I'll send them off to you. There's tons more of this. I wanted to go into the ancient Egyptian references to the winged disc of Ra, And there's descriptions there in ancient Egyptian texts of similar battles. But in the last few minutes here, let me just read this. This is from Hesiod's Theogony. He describes similar ancient battles. He said, "The boundless sea rang terribly around, and the earth crashed loudly. Wide heaven was shaken and groaned, and high Olympus reeled from its foundations under the charge of the undying gods. From the deep sound of the gods' feet and the fearful onset of their hard missiles, the heavy quaking reached ever far Tartarus," which is another word in Greek for hell. In other words, it reached the lowest depths. "From the skies opposite Mount Olympus, he, Zeus, came forthwith hurtling his lightning. The bolts flew thick and fast from his strong hand, thunder and lightning together. Whirling as an awesome flame, the fertile earth crashed around in burning. And the vast wood crackled aloud with fire all about. All the land seethed, as did the sweet water streams and the salty sea." This is some terrible unleashing of power here. Is he stylizing a description of a nuclear exchange, just like the ancient Indians and the Egyptians and the Babylonians? He goes on to say, "The hot vapor lapped around the Titans of Gaia born. Flame unspeakable rose bright to the upper air. The flashing glare of the thunderstone, its lightning blinded their eyes. So strong it was. Astounding heat seized chaos. It seemed as if earth and wide heaven above had come together. A mighty crash, as though earth was hurled to ruin. Also, the winds brought rumbling, earthquake and dust storm, thunder and lightning. Zeus thundered hard and mightily, and the earth around resounded terribly, as did the wide heavens above and even the nether parts of the earth." Again, you know, it just goes on, verse after verse, but what do you make of this? "Through the two of them, Zeus and Typhoeus, through the thunder and lightning, heat engulfed the dark blue seas, and through the fire, and the scorching winds and blazing thunderbolt, the whole earth seethed, and sky and sea." Anyway, you know, you can get the transcripts, guys. It talks about the earth melting on and on and on. Very similar to the Egyptian and the ancient Indian descriptions. Do you think there was nuclear warfare in the distant past? I do. And again, I don't see how else you can explain these ancient legends. All right, guys. That's it for today. Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
With recent internet